I'm your host, Jay Wall, and this is another episode, should I say weekly podcast, of Welcome to Deeper Dive. This is season five? This episode 21, yes. Sorry, I got a little distracted there a minute. But guess who's back? The number one co-host here. Thank you, Dawn. Welcome, as always.
Hey, wonderful to be here, Joe.
Yes, thank you for filling in. You were always doing a wonderful job. I guess, would you say a slight hiatus with wifey?
Yeah.
She's going around preaching. Yeah. Blazing up the area.
Very busy. Very busy. Yeah.
It was a wonderful, wonderful time visiting those other churches. So they would do that.
Awesome.
We want to thank all our podcast listeners for taking the time out, as always. Any requests you might have, whatever social media you might be using, please text us via WhatsApp at 954-388-8780. And as we always ask, please subscribe to our Deeper Dive podcast at deeperdive.plantationsda.tv. Now, guess who we have on the other end?
I know.
Yeah. We have the, we like to call him the Dapper Shepherd.
Thank you.
Welcome
thank you
back,
so
Pastor.
Much. Thank you so much, Joe, for that moniker. Thank you, Dawn, for encouraging him.
Yeah, it's always good. It's good. Thank you, Pastor, as always, to have you on, as always. As our church leader, we God bless you and your family, but thanks for coming on this time. But as we always do, let's start with a word of prayer. We can proceed. Father God, thank you once again for all you have done for us, Lord. We're not worthy, but we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for this podcast, Lord. Thank you for the components that make everything work. But most of all, we thank you that this word goes out to someone somewhere so it can be blessed. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Seat or service, Pastor? Why yes. Seat or service?
You know, some years ago, I was asked to do the devotional at one of our regional meetings, that is Florida Conference, as we were preparing for our constituency meetings. The way we do it in Florida Conference, we have the different regions that will meet, and they'll select different members of the nominating committee and also the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And I was approached by the then president to share a devotional. And I was led to this. Of course, it was a 5 minutes devotional. You got what you got on Sabbath was the expanded version of that devotional. And it was, of course, within the context of the church at the time, the conference at the time, looking at leaders, looking to elect new leaders. And so I thought it was fitting to share this as a devotional. Now, as it relates to this past Sabbath, as we've been talking about how that is as a leadership, how we can get folks to be more involved, I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to look at this devotional, of course, and expand it. And what you got, as I mentioned, was an expanded form. And I also was impressed to use this, given that we were celebrating Memorial Day weekend, which, of course, is a holiday when we seek to remember or we seek to honor those, the memory of those who gave their lives, who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. And so that was a genesis, Dawn, of this sermon. Started years ago as just a devotional to a meeting, constituency meeting. And now this past Sabbath, an expanded version, giving the need to encourage folks to get involved in service and tying it in with our Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you. All right, so here we are. You're talking, speaking from Mark 10, 35 to 45. And here we are. Here's Jesus and the disciples are heading to Jerusalem. you know, before for the Passover. One question I want to ask, did Mary's sister, which is Salome, right?
Yes, also called Salome, yes.
Salome, right. Was she the one that asked the question first before James and John asked the question?
So I was, good question. I was transparent enough to point out, I wanted to be transparent enough to point out the variation. And one of the reasons I did that, the major reason was there are those who are skeptical about scripture. And one of the things that they'll point to, Joe and Dawn, is the fact that you have variations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to use the occasion to demonstrate how even when you have variations, it does not shift the tone and the tenor of the narrative, that the thrust and the theme are the same.
Yes. Mm.
And how we can reconcile these variations. Because remember now, in the gospel narratives, we're having a combination of eyewitness stories, that is those who are writing who are witnesses to these stories, and also those who are writing stories that were reported to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might have someone saying, well, I think it was the mother who asked the question. And another person may say, no, I think it was the boys who asked the question. But in no way do we see it shifting. That variation does not shift the theme and the trust or the tone and the tenor of the story.
Yeah.
The kernel of truth remains the same, whether it's a mother who made the ask or the boys who made the ask. However, I did zoom in on one of the possibilities or implications if it was the mother who made the ask, because I was suggesting that, well, if it was the mother who made the ask, and when I looked at the connection there, as per the scripture references I shared in Matthew 27 and 56 and Mark 15 verse 20 and John 19 verse 25, which those passages help us to link this mother to the mother of Jesus.
Yes.
So I was making the suggestion, or for us to think about it, could it be that because of the familial or the family link, these boys were trying to leverage that link? Because you know, it's reasonable to expect, because as human beings sometimes we seek to leverage the fact that we have a connection with a person that we're making the ask of. And so that was just one of those things for us to think about. But back to the crux of your question, Joe, whether it's the mother who made the ask or the boys who made the ask directly, it does not shift the tone, the tenor, doesn't shift the theme and thrust of the narrative. It's the same all through with both narratives.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we look at this, what they were specifically asking, they wanted to be on the right hand and on the left hand. Talk a little bit about the significance of what the right hand means and the left hand means.
Mm-hmm. And so, in the culture, the right hand of the king was the hand or the position of prominence. It was the greatest prominence to be on the right hand. It was the hand of favor. Second to that was the left hand. Second to that was the left hand. And so these boys were asking for the two important positions in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get higher than the right hand. And of course, the left hand was second in prominence. And so they're asking, in essence, Dawn, for the top seats, apart from Jesus, of course, apart from the king, apart from the king. Mm-hmm. And we see this being used in scripture, where Jesus is described as sitting at the right hand of the Father. right?
Yes.
It's the hand of prominence. And so these boys are saying, we want to sit in these seats. These are important seats. They were interested in the seats. And it's for that reason, Dawn and Joe, I entitled the sermon Seat or Service.
Mm-hmm.
They were interested in the position.
In
so positions
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
were important to them. And I was quick to highlight, Joe, that these were not melting snowflakes. These guys were not shrinking violets. These were tough customers.
These are Thunder Boys.
Yeah, these were rough guys. And so that's important, Dawn, because the request wasn't a pretty please request, okay?
Exactly.
Keeping with their personality, this wasn't some pretty please Jesus. This was, listen, Jesus, you know, we've been here now for, you know, 3.5 years. You know, we're the hardy boys. We're the hardy guys. And we are, because notice, the ask was, okay, Dawn, I'm going to ask you a favor, and I want you to say yes. That was what they did before, right? They made the ask.
Mm-hmm.
So they're seeking to commit Jesus to granting a request even before they reveal what the request was. And so, yes, they were saying, we want these seats, these positions of prominence.
Wow. Ain't that something?
I know.
You know, what gets me is the fact that, you know, this is two of the three that was closest mm-hmm. to Jesus. So I could
in
see
the inner circle.
Them
Peter,
at
James,
the inner
and John.
Circle. Yeah, mm-hmm. asking like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, you know, Jesus, like you said, flipped the scripts on them saying, okay, you are asking me about this positioning. And then he hits him with the drinking of the cup.
Yes.
Which is, of course, they will much later, but of course, that's decided by God. My question was, is that they didn't see because they thought God was establishing his kingdom right then and there.
Yes.
You know, coming, soon come at that time. That was what just threw me off a little bit. Like, you know, they thought that because what, going to overthrow Rome and all the other people and just say, hey, this is where we are.
And,
I don't know. Go ahead.
And remember, I pointed out how this possibly was, Dawn, an acute case of tone deafness on their part. Because just in the previous verses, right, Jesus is saying to them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. This is going to happen to me. They're going to try me. They're going to find me guilty. They're going to... And when you read, it's interesting, when you read the structure of the sentences, right, in the previous verses, that is, I think from about verse 33 on of the chapter, mm-hmm. I count there, could be more, I count there where Jesus uses some 8 future tense verbs to convey the idea of certainty. Not that, you know, they may try me. Let's see what happens. They may arrest me. I don't know. They may put me. No. He says it with such certainty
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to go to Jerusalem. That's why I'm heading there now. They're going to try me. Going to be a mock trial. They're mm-hmm. going to find me guilty because they've decided before the trial that I'm guilty. They're going to put me to death, but I'm going to be resurrected. And after all of that, Dawn and Joe, mm-hmm. they say, oh, yeah, by the way, Jesus, will you put us on the right hand?
Mm.
When I read that, you know, years ago and I reflected on it just this past week, I'm saying, wow, this is an acute case of tone deafness.
Yeah.
But, you know, as human beings, Dawn, sometimes we hear what we want to hear, right? We can tune out what we don't want to hear.
Right.
We can so condition our minds and then our, of course, our ears, they are in tune with our minds that we only hear what we want to hear.
It's true. That is true.
Sorry, Joe, you were gonna go?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wanted to ask the question, when we make this like more practical,
Yes.
For our day to day. Do you think that as people within the church, we should not look at the positions within the church? How do we look at that? Because sometimes you say, well, this person is more fitted for this particular ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore they need to have that prominence or even be an elder or even be a first elder.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong to kind of look at it that way, or should we be more prayerful or more humble about the situation?
I think what we find here is Jesus is saying that we must always have an attitude of humility. We must always be seeking to serve rather than to be served.
Mm-hmm.
We must always be seeking purpose and not position. Because we're not inoculated against this. We find this in the world where folks just want to have a position of prominence. They want to be seen. They want to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And so they glory in these titles. They want to know they have the position. And they will do anything to get the title, anything to get the position, because with the position, very likely they have certain privileges, they have certain mm-hmm. advantages,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they're interested in. And Jesus was saying, hey, my kingdom is not about positions and privileges and advantage. No. My kingdom is about serving people.
Mm-hmm.
It's about sacrifice. And so even in church, we've got to be careful, Dawn, that we're not caught up in the position, the placement, the seat, and lose sight of the service or the function or the purpose. So that whatever title you give me, the title is not the most important thing. The most important thing is my role. The most important thing is my function. And is that function a selfless function,
mm-hmm.
not a selfish function? Am
mm-hmm.
I just functioning because I want to be called first elder? I want mm-hmm. to be pastor. I want mm-hmm. to be called leader. I want all the acknowledgments that come along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use my title. I use my position for my own self-interest. I use it to bolster my ego, right? Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is saying, it's not about that. What it's about is, it's about service.
Yes.
Are you more interested in service than a seat?
Mm-hmm.
Are you more interested in the role, your purpose, than the position and the prestige that you think the position? Because remember, the ask was right hand and left hand.
Exactly.
These were positions of power. These were positions of prestige. And Jesus was saying, it sounds like you are more interested in the seat than in serving others.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. A lot of us feel like that. I understand it. James and John, they felt entitled.
And
really
of course,
we
can't miss, Joe, that the other 10 guys were not having it, right?
Of course.
The other 10 disciples.
Got very angry.
They were very angry.
Stones, sticks, and pebbles. Put them down. Put them down.
They were upset. Yes,
they were like,
They were upset. They were upset.
Yeah,
but were they just upset because they didn't think of it first, or were they upset because of these guys stepping out of line?
Yes,
that's a good question. I'll tell you the same thing.
Yes, it's one of the things I suggested, Dawn, that it mm-hmm. could be that James and John beat them to the punch. It could be that they wanted those positions themselves.
Yeah, it's true.
And so it really caused quite a contention. Of course, the Bible is very measured. It says that they were displeased.
Mm-hmm.
That's just euphemism for these guys were ready to fight. It was that tense that Jesus mm-hmm. had to say, okay, calm down,
how you doing?
And use it as a teachable moment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't lose sight on how he began. He said, you know how the Gentiles do it, right? Those who are leaders in the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And the idea here is it's a leadership that is brutish. It's a leadership where people are pushed and people are forced, where people are at the whim and the fancy of the leader. It's a leadership where it's about the leader. You know, that's how the Gentiles do it. Those who have power, they use their power for their benefit. They use their power to abuse people. They use their power to push people around. And Jesus is saying that is not the kingdom mindset. That's not how we do it in the kingdom. That's not how we do it.
Just like you're saying, we don't roll like that.
Yeah, we don't roll like that. No, we're not into the position for the power so that we can use it for our own self-interest.
Yeah. I wanted to say something just to clear the record. You know, they were talking about the sexiest man alive. They didn't look at the right book. I just wanted to let the congregation know. Okay. I have that book. Okay. And you are.
Oh,
in it.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to let you know that, Pastor, because they said you looked for it and you went there. They didn't have the right book. But just to clear that up.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Just to clear that up, man.
Got it.
No, but what I wanted to say is about, just talk about what your requirements of the disciple. You know, you started with
the three points
of, yeah.
Yes.
The first one, of course, was service, and we can go from there.
This is important. This is important. Disciples serve. Disciples serve. And it's a simple thought, but it's profound. If you and I are called by Christ, we're called not only to follow him, but to serve him. In following him, we follow him in service. And so I've got to ask myself, how am I serving in the cause of Christ? I do believe that for every believer, it is biblical, it's clear in the gospel, that Jesus never calls us just to attend church, just to show up on the weekends and to worship, get our praise on, and go back home, just to be spectators. And I fear that's what's happening in too many of our congregations in the body of Christ, where a majority of the folks, they show up on the weekend, Joe, and Dawn, to be entertained. They show up on the weekend just to get their praise on, just to get their worship fix, and they're gone. And I am saying, based on the word of God, that he calls every disciple to service. Disciples serve. They understand it, that I am called to serve a cause that is greater than myself. It's not my self-interest. It's outside of my self-interest at times, and it is others-centric. The other thing we've got to appreciate as disciples, that our service is going to include sacrifice and suffering.
Yes.
If we're going to serve in the cause of Christ, sacrifice and suffering will be part of it. And I tapped onto what we were celebrating this past weekend, Memorial Day, right? And how these folks who stormed the beach there at Normandy in France in 1944, June 6th, most of them were in their 20s.
Yeah.
But they understood that they were part of something that was, most of them, that is bigger than themselves, And they paid the ultimate sacrifice. They gave of themselves, they gave their lives. And every time I think about that, that we today, Dawn and Joe, of course, we're not a perfect country. There's still some struggles. There's still some issues for us to work out as a country. But we live in a country where we can worship freely. We have certain freedoms. And these freedoms were guaranteed to us because those folks made the ultimate sacrifice.
Yes.
Because I tell you, any objective read of history can conclude, if Hitler and the Third Reich had won, if D-Day was a bust, we're dealing with a totally different world. A totally different world. And so they made that sacrifice. And so as people of faith serving Christ in a world that is antagonistic to the gospel, in a world where the devil is doing everything to beat back the gospel from making advances, if you and I are going to serve in the cause of Christ, we've got to appreciate, Dawn, that it's going to involve sacrifice and suffering. It's part of it. And finally, our service, the way we serve, must be characterized by three important things. Number one, love. Number two, humility. And number three, grace.
Yes.
If you're a disciple of Christ, serving in the cause of Christ, you got to love people. You have to love people. And we say this, Dawn, and you would say, well, but Pastor, come on, that's obvious. Well, the truth is that sometimes we can get caught up in the machinery and the mechanics and the policy and the platform and the program and the agenda that we forget that it's about people. Mm-hmm. And the people become a bother because the program is not operating on time. The people become a bother because we got to tweak the policy. The people become a bother because, you know what, they're not even our clique. So
yes.
we can get so mired into church work, I'm saying, Dawn and Joe. Church work, that which we think is the cause of Christ, that we forget that it must be characterized by love, must be characterized by humility, must be characterized by grace. So what do I mean? What does that look like? So for example, I've got a guy coming to my church. He's coming for the first time. He may not be appropriately dressed. The way I approach him on that subject is not in a condemning way. It's not in a harsh way. Mm-hmm. But in a way that's encouraging. It's in a way that says, okay, how can I help him to feel comfortable, even though I may believe, given our style, that he may not be appropriately dressed? How do I minister to him in a way where he feel loved, he feel accepted, even though I may feel he doesn't fit in?
When you just listen to this, you know, Pastor, I'm thinking like, you know, to be great in God's kingdom, of course, you need to be a servant. But the main thing that comes out to me is the greatness is in the service.
Yes, is in the service.
Yes,
we're called to serve, and this is so antithetical to the culture right now, Dawn. It's not funny because our culture is so self-centered. Our culture is all about self-interest. It's all about what can I get out of it.
That's true, right then and there.
And we're not inoculated against this as a church. It has even creeped into the body of Christ, where people are saying, "Well, what can I? You know, what am I going to get out of it? I gotta, you know, what sacrifice? It's going to call for sacrifice. It's going to call, and I must be reminded, Joe and Dawn, and this is the final point I'll say on this, that Jesus paid the ultimate price." And so to serve him is not a divine right. It's a privilege to serve him.
It is.
It's the least I can do for the sacrifice that he made on my behalf is to serve him, to serve his cause, a cause that's greater than me.
Wonderful.
So how do we, going forward now, as church members, keep ourselves in check that when we take a position in ministry, that we're not just doing it for the accolades, we are actually doing it because we want to follow Christ and reach others for Christ and love people at the same time?
I think three things. Number one, there has to be daily surrender. There has to be daily surrender to it. Every day I've got to give myself to God and to this. And number two, I've got to have a spiritual mentor, someone who's going to keep me accountable and help remind me. Remember why we're doing this? Remember why we're doing this? And number three, I've got to ask God to create situations or allow me to experience situations that call that will call for me to be selfless.
Yes.
Call for me to be selfless. I think when you have those three elements at work, Dawn, that can keep me from believing that's about me. It's about my likes and dislikes. It's about my title. You know, ask God to keep me humble. Have someone who will be a spiritual mentor to keep me accountable. And ask God to expose me, allow me to face situations where I see, for me to get this thing done, I see that I have to be selfless. Mm-hmm. It calls on me to be selfless.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, Pastor, thank you. Well, that was a mouthful. So. That was wonderful. Do you have anything else, Don?
No, I'm good.
Thank you. Thank you. So we know how now to be. Of course, we already know, but it's good to be the greatest in the kingdom is to be a servant.
Servant of all.
Mm-hmm. A servant of all. And now we can be the greatest. Wonderful. Pastor, as always, thank you. Blessings to your family.
Thank you.
And I just want to let you guys know I did miss Plantation while we were gone. So, but now we're back. Wonderful experience at the churches we read. Very, very, very hospitable churches. So thank you for that. All right, Pastor Israel, as always.
Sure. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus, his clear example of selflessness.
Yes.
Clear example we have of his life of service that included suffering and sacrifice. And Lord, we know that you call upon us and you require nothing less. But we thank you that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you've made provision for this. We pray for this podcast and all those that will listen to this podcast. May they be blessed by it. Continue to be with Dawn and Joe and the rest of the team as they seek to use this medium to connect people to you. We pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who will listen to this podcast. May your Holy Spirit speak to each heart and may help them to discover the joy of a life surrendered to Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Blessings.
Thank you.
Dawn, thank you. All right.
Thank you, Joe. All right.
Take care.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.